Holy Ghost comes in. We've had such a wonderful day already. Good service that we had this morning. All the visitors. That's a wonderful way to spend a day with God's people, basking in His Word and the Spirit of God. And I appreciate all these songs tonight. It's good to get our mind focused on God, and I couldn't help but think a little bit about when that first song that Sister Lynette was singing. I was thinking about Abraham. You know, the Bible really doesn't say how old Abraham was. I don't believe it does. You might correct me, but I don't believe it says how old Abraham was when God spoke to him. We don't know if he appeared to him or came to him in a dream or exactly how God did it, but he let Abraham know his will for him when he was in Ur, the city of Ur, the Chaldees. And he told Abraham, get up and go to a country and that I've prepared for you. And I'm glad that Abraham heeded that call. He had faith. Did you know there's a big difference between faith and trust? Do you know what the difference is? Let me tell you a little bit about faith. The Bible says this. The Bible said faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. Did you know that when you hear the Word of God, that's why it's careful what you allow to sink down into your heart and take root, because that's going to produce a certain faith down in your heart. That's going to be that basis for a faith. And when the Word of God comes into you, Abraham was fortunate enough that God Himself, told Abraham what his will was. And that was faith. That was God revealing His will for Abraham's life. And Abraham answered that call. And we don't know how old he was. I believe God appeared on Abraham three times, maybe four altogether in his long life. And Abraham lived, I believe, 147 years. Abraham lived a long time. He wasn't fortunate enough like we are. We can come today and we can gather with God's people and we can find out, we can have faith built in our heart. Three times a week we can come here and we can have the Word of God given to us, which will create faith down in our heart. Knowing His principles, knowing His commandments, and that will create that faith down in your heart. Faith will point you in the direction God wants you to go. But trust is what will really get you there. When Abraham started out on his journey, he had a small little band of people with him. And he wandered around for a long time. And God only appeared to him a couple other times after that. One of them was to make a covenant with him when he was older. And the other time was to tell him that when the Lord appeared unto him with two angels, Abraham, he was camped down and the angel Christ told him that you're going to have a son, you're going to have a son of promise. So that those were the times that God appeared unto Abraham and gave him direction. Aren't you glad that you get more direction in your life more than just three or four times every 60 or 70 years? I couldn't make it. I need to come to church. In fact, Paul said this. He said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some. Even during the time of Paul, there were some that were pulling back. You know, it bothers me when I see these churches on different corners, and they don't have a Wednesday night, and they don't have a Sunday night, and they have service from 10 to 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. I'm thinking, how do they stay saved? I couldn't do it. You know, sometimes it takes us just an hour just to get going here. We need fellowship with one another, and we need fellowship with the Spirit of God. That's how we blend our spirits. That's how we mingle our wine, is when we come in here and we learn to work together as a group. And I was telling somebody earlier, Brother Mark, I said, you know, I think God's gonna do something wonderful in this area. I said, on the way to church, I was thinking about the talent and the abilities that God has put in His church here. You know, behind us, we got a platform full of preachers, good preachers, just like Brother McGowan this morning. He got up and he got hooked up and he rang the bell. Well, God could use any one of these men back there. I've seen God use Brother Thompson. I've seen God even use Brother Paul David McGowan. And God could use any of us if we just yield ourselves. And I thought, my, just how blessed we are, you know, just to have a platform full of good men like this, that and the different gifts that they have. That there's some like Brother Phil Fisher. I was telling Sister Chelsea, I said, you know, Brother, I was bragging on him, you know. Bragging to Sister Chelsea about Brother Phil. I said, you know, you can come in kind of beat up by the world and a little bit downtrodden, maybe a little bit discouraged, and Brother Phil Fisher will get up, he'll start talking about serving God. And I said, before he's done, you feel good about yourself again. You feel good about serving God. And we've got a variety of gifts. Whatever God needs to do. It's just like when David went out to face Goliath. Well, he went down to the stream. He tried on that armor. He tried on Saul's sword. And he said, these aren't tried. He said, take these off of me. But he went down to the stream. He picked up 5 smooth stones that God had shaped and smoothed in that brook. Just the stones rubbing against each other. You know, sometimes we on the platform up here, we can't help but sometimes we rub on each other, you know. You just can't hardly help but do that. But I'm thinking, thank God that we do, because we're in the brook of God. God's knocking the rough corners, the sharp corners off of us, until one of these days God's going to have a fully smooth, fully functional fivefold ministry, not just in this church alone. I believe God's developing a fivefold ministry right here in this church. Don't you believe that? I can see it working today. Brother Smith's been working on eldership. We've got elders in this church. If you look around, you can see, with a variety of gifts and a variety of experiences. And so David, he went down and he picked up those 5 smooth stones and put them in his pocket. And when he saw Goliath coming, you know, he reached into that pouch, and it didn't matter what stone he pulled out. He put it in his sling. You know, there's going to come a time when that beast is going to rise up, that beastly system. You know, Goliath was big and he was powerful. And they say that, I was read one time, that his armor alone weighed over 150 pounds. That's a lot of weight. And his sword alone weighed over 20 pounds. You ever tried to kind of do a swashbuckling kind of Errol Flynn kind of thing with something 20 pounds in your hand? You can't do it. This guy was big and he stood almost 10 foot tall. He was 3 inches shy of 10. In other words, if he would have been on a basketball court and he would have stood under the hoop, there would have been 3 inches difference between his head and touching the hoop. That's how big he was. And so every morning, the children of Israel would go out and we sing a song. You'll run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. And it goes, you know, what was it? Israelites marched before the Lord and said, no, the Philistine marched before the Lord and said, give us a man to fight. How's that go? But the Israelites said, we got a brave heart, but our feet are full of fright. Then a boy with a sling and 5 smooth stones that knew how to trust and pray said, run, Goliath, if you're going to run, but I came here to stay. Well, don't you know, the Israelites, they were really doing the best that they could. They were really trying. But when they saw that old giant come up with that big shield that covered his whole body and 150 pounds of armor and that big sword that must have been 6 foot long, and he had a big spear, he was a man of war. He'd come out and probably in a big voice, he'd go, send me a man out to fight. You know, probably an old rough piratey kind of a voice. No telling how many men he'd already killed. And boy, when he saw them, when the Israelites saw Philistine, the Goliath coming up over the hill, you know, they really meant well. But they hadn't been in the brook of God. They hadn't been where God was working. God had to send a little teenage boy. The Bible said he was ruddy, that had been tending his father's sheep on the backside of the desert. You know, there's a lot of people that look around at us today and they'll say, this group, they'll never amount to anything. Y'all remember Brother Giffen? Brother Giffen would get up in meetings and he would say this. He'd say, we're not just a ragtag bunch of people, but we're what God has put together into this world today to face that beastly system out there. And God's getting us ready. Well, every time the Philistine would come up over the hill, they'd all run. And David, he asked his father, he said, can I just take some food? He really wanted to see what was going on in the battle. He said, I want to take some food up to my brothers, because David had several brothers that was up there already fighting. So he went up there, and of course, y'all know the story, how the Philistine came up, and they all fled. And David went in to the king, and he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that the people of God would flee before him? You know, sometimes I think we're living beneath what God wants us to live. In the book of 1 John, it says this. It said, behold, what manner of love the Father has shown toward us, in that now, not when you die, not when you get over on your side, but right now we are the sons of God. But it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he appeareth, we shall be changed, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath his hope purifies himself, even as he is pure. Don't you see, don't you feel the Lord appearing down inside of you? You know, the Lord's never going to appear in the sky to take his people home, but he's going to appear down inside of you and me. He's going to appear in a body of people that's going to spread over this known world. You know, God's building the garner today, just like Jesus. When Jesus showed up on the scene, his cousin, John the Baptist, he was out preaching and he was baptizing. And he was making straight the way of the Lord and preparing a way. And he said this, they said this about John, he would make every crooked thing straight, and every exalted thing would be brought low, and every low thing would be exalted. That's what John was doing over there. He was getting that world, he was getting those people ready for their Savior. Well, don't you know the Lord today, he's getting people's hearts and he's getting people's minds ready, that there's people all over the United States, all over the world, that are wanting more God. You know, when I came into the body 30 years ago, my wife and I, we were wanting more God. We had never heard of the body of Christ. We had never heard about that little David ministry on the backside of the desert that God had been keeping hidden, that no one knew about. And so finally, David, he told Saul, he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And Saul said, well, if you're up to it, go fight him. None of us are going to do it. So he went out there and he got those five smooth stones, put them in his pocket. And so there he was with the shepherd's staff where he had been tending his sheep. You know, that's one thing. God has given us a charge. One time God told Moses, he said, Moses, what's in your hand? You know, I felt like God had a call on my life shortly after I came to the body, and I kept looking for big things to do. I was looking, you know, because I came up under Brother Smith. And, I mean, that's intimidating. Have you ever tried to get up and teach while he's there? Because everything you know, he knows. Plus, he knows 10 times more than what you don't know. So, you know, that was intimidating to me. And then I would watch him. I would try to say the same thing he did, and I'd try to act the way that he did, try to have that same anointing on his life, and it didn't work. But, you know, God told Moses. Moses, when God appeared unto Moses in that burning bush, he told Moses, he said, I want you to go, and I want you to go down to Egypt and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Well, we've all heard, you know, those of us that feel like they're called to the ministry or called to the band or called to be a song leader or called to be a saint. You know, you're called to be a saint. If you're here today, it's because God has called you to the wonderful body of Christ, to be a working member, to be a part of what God is doing today, to prepare a foundation for those that are going to come after us, to be a pillar in the house of God, to hold up his work, to hold up the hands of the ministry. But Moses, he said, oh Lord, he said, I am slow of speech. I think he stuttered. You know, you always see Charlton Heston on the Ten Commandments. Charlton Heston was real imposing, and he went before Pharaoh, and he said, let my people go. Well, poor old Moses, he would have said, let my people go. I don't think it would have been very, Brother Michael could do a better job at that, kind of like a Bugs Bunny kind of thing. Well, he was trying to make an excuse. Well, we all do the same thing. When I felt God was calling me to the ministry, there was things in my life that I knew, number one, that was going to have to be corrected by God. Did you know leadership in the kingdom of heaven. And it doesn't matter if you're a mother with a newborn child, you're going to be a leader to somebody somewhere. Brother Ethan, did you know people are looking up to you to be leaders? The younger men, Eshawn, you know, Eshawn looks up to you older boys. These younger ones, they'll look up to you. Brother Anthony, Eshawn, they're going to look up to you. Some of you older girls, my twin granddaughters, you're going to be leaders to them. They're going to watch you. They're going to watch you in church. They're going to see, do you get out and worship the Spirit? Do you put God before doing this, before doing that? You're going to be a leader to somebody. If you're a mother, if you're a stay-at-home mom and you homeschool your kids, you become a leader to those. Or if you're a father, if you're a husband, you become a leader and a high priest of that household. Or if you have a position here in church or in the general body, people are going to be looking to you. And that's why it's important to, in the qualifications, in that one place, where was it, Timothy, when he wrote to Timothy, he said, don't ordain a novice, you know, lest they fall under the snare and the condemnation of the devil. Well, when you become a leader in here, people are going to watch you. Have you ever felt like somebody's looking at your back? Have you ever felt like somebody is just watching you? Well, they are. People are watching you. And that's why it's important to put God first in your life. I found out through experience, and I found out from hearing messages, that a child wants to see a message and not hear a message. What's that old saying? It's better to don't do as I say, or don't do as I do as I say. Children are going to do that. They're going to watch you, and they're going to see, is mom and dad really dedicated to this? Because they'll come to church, and they'll hear a message on faithfulness. They'll hear a message on tithing. They'll hear a message that will contain the principles that we want down in our life, whatever that principle is. And that child is going to go home, and they're going to see what mom and dad do. They're going to see, is mom and dad going to be faithful? They may not say that, but you're preaching a message every time you do something in your household. When you stay home for no reason at all, that's going to put something down in that child's life that God's going to have to get it out later. You know that? They're going to be watching you. That's why when you realize you're in a position of leadership, it'll make you be responsible. If you're in this body, you're responsible for somebody. Somebody's going to be looking for you. In fact, Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob, when he fled from his father and went to Laban, Laban changed the price of his wages many times. And what happened was Jacob would take when the cattle, the sheep, and the kine and the cattle would come to the watering troughs, and there they would breed. Laban would tell Jacob, he would say, you can have, your wages will be all the ring-striped and spotted cattle. So Jacob would take these, I think it was poplar, and if his wages was ring-striped and spotted, he would make rods. And he would make them ring-straked and spotted, and he would put them before the watering trough so that when the cattle would breed, guess what? All the good ones, and this is in the Bible, all the good ones were ring-straked and spotted. And all the weak ones, all the poor ones, all the ones that were lame and were halt went to Laban. So gradually, you know, and God uses that to show a type that what you receive, the examples that we have on the platform, the examples in the general ministry of the body of Christ, and you as an example to those that are looking to you, they are going to become what you put forth. That's why we're talking about faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. It's important what you allow to go down into your mind. That's why there's so many people today that they'll say, what faith are you of? They really mean, what do you believe? And we got to, there's many, 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 many different faiths that are being preached today. But I'm telling you, it's just like Paul said, down there in the early church, there was one faith. The disciples, the apostles, they stood back to back. They stood like those 12 oxen with their hinder parts together. They had one faith. They had one baptism. They had one Lord. They had one body. They had one God who was the Father of all and through it all and in you all. There was just one. Today, we're striving, like Brother McGowan was saying, we're striving to get back to that one faith. I'm telling you, this body is full of knowledge and understanding. We have men in this body that could start in Genesis and end up in Revelations, and they could talk about any subject you want to. But we're looking for that one faith that the Lord could hook onto when we fully make him our head, when he fully restores the church. 100 years ago, God gave Brother Souders a vision of a restored church down here. And you know, you don't have to be real smart or real Bible scholarly to read through the book of Acts and realize that what we got today isn't anything like what they had back there. There's nobody walking around today whose shadow just falling upon sick people like Peter's did. That shadow, just as he would walk along that place, that road, people would bring their sick and their dying out. And just the shadow of Peter falling upon those people would heal them. We don't got that today. And we don't have, like Brother McGowan was saying, Paul said this. He said, I have not failed to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. We have a lot. This body is full of the riches of the Word of God, but God is still restoring. This is a restorative process. God's restoring his church, and as he does, God opens up different areas that we've been blind to, that we didn't even realize that we were lacking in. And as we need something, God opens that up. So God told Abraham, he said, get up and go to this country, and your descendants are going to be as the sand of the sea and the stars of heaven. So Abraham got up, and we aren't sure how long it was that he wandered around in the wilderness, but it had to be years and years and years. Somebody say something?
Yeah, he was 75 when God called him out of Haran.
75 years old. Okay, and he had Isaac when he was 100 years old. So that's a long time to go between church services, getting direction from God. I'll tell you what, his faith and trust in God must have been strong. Could you go 10 years on just one sermon, on one direction from God? You know, and then the few times that God did meet with Abraham, Abraham was always quick to heed the word of God. But then he trusted God. When God told Abraham to get up and get out of Ur of the Chaldees, he didn't know what his journey was going to be. He didn't know how he was going to do it. He just knew that God told him to get up and go. And thank God that he had enough trust in God. That's one thing God is developing in the body today, and that is we're learning to trust him. We're learning to trust his leadership, and we're learning to have confidence in one another. It's just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar, he destroyed Jerusalem, and he brought all those captives back with him into captivity of Babylon, and he took the best, those that were related to the kings and the princes of royalty. And he put him in his own court, and he had them trained up. Well, and then there came a time where Nebuchadnezzar built a large statue, a golden statue. I can't help but think it didn't look like him. But he said, everybody, he says, when you hear the song play, when the band strikes up, I want everybody to fall down and worship this image, this golden image that I made. And if you don't, you're going to be cast alive the very hour into this fiery furnace that I've made. Did you know that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, they were older when they went into the king's court, and they were trained up under King Nebuchadnezzar by the eunuchs, and they were taught the way of the Babylonian Empire. They had to dress like them, but they remember the teachings that they grew up under, and that was in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt worship the Lord, and him only shalt thou worship. And they knew what that was. They knew by faith. They had that faith. See, that faith comes by hearing. that hearing of the Word of God, that principle of worshiping the Lord God only, that was their faith. And so when they saw that this statue had been built and Nebuchadnezzar wanted everyone to fall down and worship, their faith was, we cannot fall down and worship it. And they also realized God had raised Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego up to a place that, don't you know, there was hundreds of thousands of Jewish captives in Babylon that were looking to see what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And let me tell you, when God puts you in a position of leadership, people are going to watch you. You're going to affect their life somehow. You're going to develop a certain faith down inside of them. So when the band struck up, their faith was they could not fall down. They could not worship that image. And so everyone else did, and there they stood, firm and erect. And Nebuchadnezzar dealt with them. He said, didn't you hear that I said when the sound of the music comes, you're to fall down? And they said, O king, live forever. He said, we're very careful to answer you. He said, because we know that you can cast us this very same hour into the furnace of fire. And they said, we know our God can deliver us. He said, but O king, know this now, we will not bow down. See, their faith told them what to do. And you know, years ago, God dealt with Brother Souders about a restored church down here, about a foundation, about principles down here, about God restoring his body down here, having the same kind of a church, the same kind of power, the same authority that you can find in the book of Acts down here as they did down there. Did you know Jesus told Peter one time, he said, Peter, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And whoso sins you remit, they are remitted. You don't see that authority yet. You can see it start to come. You can feel that coming back into the church. You can feel as God is drawing close to the church. You can feel more fear. You can feel more respect. You can feel more honor and authority coming back. But we aren't there yet. God doesn't have that restored yet. But when he does, oh, what a wonderful manifestation of the sons of God that's going to be. God will help people to rise up above the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Did you know Brother Souders taught that you can finally get to a place where you aren't even tempted by those things anymore? I still believe that today. I still believe that God's going to have a people down here, not just this church, but hundreds of thousands, millions of people that God is going to raise up above the elements of this world, the rudiments of this world, and they're going to move out alive, so they're going to be overcomers. They're going to be perfect overcomers, just like you read about back here in the book of Acts, in the book of James, and 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, in the book of Revelations. God's going to have that down here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they told the king, they said, our God is able to deliver us, but if he does not, see, their faith told them what they could do and what they could not do, but they told the king, our God is able to deliver us, but if he doesn't, they didn't know if God was going to deliver them or not. I really think that is the true story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It was wonderful what God did for them. It was wonderful that when they were thrown into the fire, that they weren't burned up. And then there was that fourth man walking in the fire with them that looked like the Son of God. I mean, that's a wonderful story. But I really think the point that we ought to get is they had to trust God. They didn't know if they were going to be delivered or not. They were willing to be thrown into that fire. They didn't know if it was going to hurt. You know, and in fact, the fire was so hot when they rolled that stone away, the soldiers who rolled it away, they were burned up instantly. They must have looked at each other and went, boom. they had to be a little bit worried, but they had to trust God. You know, we're on a journey. We're on a journey today that years ago, God said to our forefathers, get up and get out of this country and go to a place that I'm going to show you. And this body of people has been on that journey for years. We've had to trust God. We've gone through some hard things. We've gone through some difficult times. But you know, God is developing a trust down inside of us that we're the children of Israel. They had to trust God to be led in the wilderness for 40 years. All they knew was Moses said, get your stuff, we're leaving. And for 40 years, they followed that cloud by day and that fire by night, trusting that God would lead them in the right direction. And God did. He brought them over the Jordan River, gave them a land flowing with milk and honey. Don't you know that's what God's leading us to? We just got to learn to trust Him, to put our trust in Him. And when I was in California, I got saved when I was 16 in California. Then my wife and I, we were still 20 years old when we got married. Never in my wildest dream and in my Christian walk would I have ever thought I would have ended up in Arkansas. I love it here. This is a wonderful place. But if you could have asked me when I was 20 years old, are you going to end up in Arkansas being a plumber? I would have said, no, that's a fictional story. Well, I was on a journey, and I still don't know. I still don't know what's coming out ahead. Jesus told one person, he said, take no thought for tomorrow, for sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. You know, God knows what's out ahead of us. And I still believe today that God's holding back things out of our life that could destroy us. I believe that there's things that God is holding away until we can become more mature in Him, until we get more rooted, more founded, get more weight in our life so that we aren't tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. I think God's holding things out of our life because He loves us. He cares that much for us, and He has the power and the ability to save His people. That's why I'm able to trust Him today. No, I don't know what it's going to take to get from here to a restored church, but I trust God that we're on that journey. What's this? What is this here? Do what?
It's a prayer request.
Oh, okay. All right, it's a prayer request. We'll get that here in a minute. But I trust God. And I've got confidence in His ministry, and I got confidence in His people. So I'm so thankful today for the journey that we're on. You know, this is a journey. And I'm glad I'm going with my brothers and sisters. I'm glad I'm not on this road alone. What's that road? Working the road that leads to? Huh? Yeah. 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 It's quite a journey we're on, isn't it? It's exciting. So we may want to go to prayer. It says about Brother Wallace, he says, I go in for surgery on his right foot and left hand. Please remember us in prayer. Well, we will. We'll remember you, Brother Wallace, in prayer. And it's good to have Brother Wallace here tonight. We pray for him and Sister Wallace quite often. So Maybe during this time, I heard Sister Gail, I heard she went in and they did a lot of tests and it looks like she's going to be okay. I know she appreciates the prayers of God's people and their concern and their compassion and their care. So let's pray for that. What else do we have here tonight? Let's pray for those that are on the road tonight. I heard it was a really good Houston meeting. I'll tell you, our people are going to come home, Sister Crow, and they're going to be fired up, fire in their feet. They're going to be ready to go. So let's pray that God would help them to get home without incident. What else do we have? All right. Well, maybe we can let's just stand. Let's thank God. And let's take these few prayer requests for Brother Wallace and some of these other things. Let's take these prayer requests. I wanted to say it's good to have Sister Hannah back again, too. And does your pastor, does he preach and teach that when you go to another church you ought to work in? Does he ever talk about stuff like that? Surely to goodness we're not the only church that teaches.
I didn't say a word to him. I didn't, brother, did I say anything to you before, sir?
No.
I didn't talk to him. Must be the Lord.
We got a teaching around here that when you go to another church you ought to at least testify, and we don't want to put any pressure on you. We really don't. We are just so thankful that you're here. We really appreciate it. But I know your pastor would appreciate if you'd get up and work. Let's take these prayer requests before the Lord. Hallelujah. God, we're so thankful today for the wonderful Holy Ghost that we've already felt here today, God, and this wonderful Spirit. We want to lift Brother Wallace and Sister Wallace up before you today, God, that you would strengthen him. Touch his body. Help him in this surgery, God. Wednesday, touch his body. Keep touching Sister Gail, Lord. All these that were mentioned this morning, we need a touch in our body, God. We need your help, need your encouragement, need your covering in our life. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. There's still plenty of time left for you to get up to sing, to get up to testify, to get up and talk and whatever the Lord would have you to do. I'm just glad to be here tonight with my brothers and sisters. God bless y'all.
Turn my life over to God, and I thought about that all week long, just what God has done for me, and I was thinking last night, I got home from work, and I was tired, as kids say nowadays, I was beat down, and I went and sat outside, and I was getting ready to go in so I could go to sleep, and get ready to work today, and this is the fourth time a brother walked up to me and asked me, what are you doing different? You know, from everybody else, because I see things don't upset you like they do everybody else around here. And I was tired. Like I said, I was. And I said, and I gave him about a 30-second testimony. And I patted him on the back and said, it'll get better. And I went to bed. And I stayed in the bed about 10 minutes before I had to get up and put my clothes on. And I went knocking on that guy's door. And I had my Bible. And I sat kneeled beside his bed, and I really told him what Jesus had did for me over these last few months. And when it was finished, that brother got up and hugged me and thanked me for sharing with him. And like I said, I gave all the credit to Jesus, and because it's not me. And I know that for a fact. Because sometimes it's wicked to be a half a year clean and sober, and I know I couldn't have did that. I can't, because I couldn't go a couple of days without drinking. Or using drugs, it'll be a half a year, and I'm just so grateful that you know I was able to share that with that brother, and I do tell him about the church, but I don't say you got to come and go, but I'd appreciate it, you know, if you want to come, you know, and I'm looking forward to someday maybe someone will come, and come and go to church with me here, and this is my church. I haven't been able to come on Sundays, but this is where I'm gonna be going to church, and that'll change. Down the road, and I'll be coming back on Sunday because I missed the fellowship downstairs, and I missed the food too, I'll be honest with you. I miss eating, and as soon as that changes, I'll be back, and I appreciate the friends that I've made here, especially my two best friends. I had to call out Ron and Brett because we talk on the phone a lot, and we text each other just about every day, and they share with me, and I'm grateful for them, I really am, and I'm grateful for all of y'all because y'all made me feel like home here. And that's why I say I'm not going to another church. This is my church. If you don't see me on Sunday morning, I'm going to be here Sunday night, or I'm going to be here Wednesday. I'm not going anywhere. And I'm sold out for the Lord. I don't want to go back, and I'm not going back. It's just the way it is. But anyway, after I share with that brother, I do morning meditation and pray every morning. Because when I get up in the morning, I'm fresh, and whatever I read will stick with me. And I'm not tired. So I do it. I pray. And I read out of a daily bread. A lot of times when people talk about the text I send comes from that. It's a Christian meditation book. And after I shared with that brother last night, and I went to bed, and I felt better when I shared with him. And I went to bed. When I got up this morning, I'm going to read out of it. But this is what my morning meditation was. And I left my glasses at home, so you have to kind of. Okay. Let me get there. Get the day here. Yeah, I can probably. Let me see. But this is what my morning meditation said. It says, "Lord, lead me today. As is, Lord, lead me today as you see best. use the gifts you have given me to encourage others on this journey. Help me not to compare myself with others, but to be content with who you have made me to be. And I just thought that went so good with what had happened that night. And I feel like the Lord is leading me at his pace and showing me what he wanted me to do on a daily basis. I know that in my heart. He really is, because he's brought me a long way in these few months to even getting up here and testifying about it, because I'm not afraid anymore. I'm not afraid to tell people I love Jesus. I tell them at work all the time. And they know that. People at work ask me the same question. Well, how come you're different? You know, what are you doing different? And I tell them. I don't have no problem telling them either. But I love y'all. And like I said, this is my church. And I thank you. I'm sorry.
Well, I have ever since Brother Smith rebuked me a few weeks ago for not hitting the channel. I've kind of been hesitant about getting up, but sometimes you just got to get up and give thanks. You can just hold it in so long, but I was late this morning, which is not unusual for me. I woke up about 5 o'clock, and I had the heartburn, and I laid there for an hour and a half. I couldn't go back to sleep because it was in such discomfort. So finally, about between 6:30 and 7, I fell asleep and woke up at 8:15, and I feel like I can't get going without 2 cups of coffee and glancing over the papers. So I'm good at being late, but anyway, I'm thankful. You know, a few months ago downstairs, I remember Brother Wayne McGowan was at the table, and Sister Bryant, and I forget who else, and I was mentioning, you know, how it seemed like the Spirit did not come in as often as it used to in its fullness. But since lately, I know we've been really blessed with the abundance of the Spirit on Sunday night. It really feels good. I don't want to cause any dissension, but I have to go along with whatever decided, but I'm not too fond of doing away with Sunday night service one Sunday a week, because it seems like the Spirit comes in so rich on Sunday night that it seems like it gives us something to go into Monday to, but whatever is decided, well, we'll just have to go by it. But thankful to be here, and thankful that I have an understanding. You know, Brother Smith said after Sister Wilkins passed away, people in the body were putting on Facebook that she went straight to heaven, and you know, I'm thankful that I have an understanding that that's not true. I believe it was Brother Liniger that said, if I can't raise you from the dead, I can't move you out of live soul. I believe he's the one that said that. But anyway, you know, I've got a neighbor that's an atheist, and you know, you're not going to convince an atheist that there's a God. You know, when St. Augustine, back in the 5th century, he was talking about God, and they accused him of heresy. They said, you can't be saying there's a God because you can't see him, you know. And he said, show me some mercy. You know, and he said, there's mercy, but you can't see it. And so there's things that, just because we can't see them, they are still possible. Like we can all visualize a square, but a chiliagon, I doubt if too many of us could imagine the chiliagon. That's a building with 1,000 sides on it. So it's possible there could be such a building, but you know, for us to be able to perceive what it would look like would be beyond our comprehension. But and there's always been a debate about right and wrong, you know, what's right and what's wrong. And story about the boy came home from school, you know, and his parents had been working hard all day, and he thought, well, I better wash the dishes. So that was the right decision. But he broke half of them. So was that the right decision or the wrong decision? Then the man that lived out in a rural area, and his wife was very sick. And if he couldn't get to the pharmacy and get this medicine, she was going to die. So he went to the pharmacy, and the pharmacist didn't know him. He said, I can't afford what you're asking for that medicine. He said, I'm sorry, I just can't give it to you. So the man left, and so when the druggist closed up, he broke in and stole it. So did he do right or did he do wrong? It was wrong to steal, and yet he saved his wife's life. So, you know, there's always been a debate about whether there's a God and the difference in right and wrong. But anyway, I'm thankful that I often dream about being in church, and I had a dream this week that I was in another kind of church, you know, and I could discern the difference in the worship style. So my neighbors can't understand why I come this far to church, but I know what they've got, but they don't know what I've got. And if I didn't have what I have, I sure wouldn't be driving to Conway to come down here. But you know, I've had dreams about this place being full. I wish before I died that would happen. I wish that before I died I could see this place full. I know we have full when we have ministers' meetings and youth meetings, but I'd like to see it full someday. And I just wish that the Lord would help me just win one member of my family in here, because, you know, my sister is 67 years old, and I don't think she's ever had a conversion experience. So if I could just win one of my relatives in here, I would be so thankful, but that's in God's hands. But I hope I don't have to eat my words, but I think I've reached the point to where, I know I'm not ready to go to heaven, but I think I've reached the point to where I don't really fear death anymore, because I know that death is just a feeling, and I believe that if I die, that I would have a resurrection. So I feel like I've reached the point that really I don't worry about dying anymore. And I also give God thanks, because lately, with my fatigue and my depression, I've been doing so much better. I've been feeling so much more optimistic and joyful, and that's a good blessing, because, you know, it's like a dark cloud going away from your head. So anyway, I hope Brother Smith was here. I would hope he didn't say I missed the channel, but it's good to be with you, and good to be here.
Sam, God's been blessing me here in the last couple of weeks, and it seems like he blesses you when you're in tribulations. I don't know if y'all know this, but I was coming down Broadway the other day, and a tractor trailer rig was in the right-hand lane, and I was in the left-hand lane coming up beside him. I started slowing down a little bit, but I was probably doing about 40, and the man coming out of Phillips onto Broadway says the tractor trailer rig motioned to come out. And when he came out, I came around him, and I hit him broadsided. I mean, cold cocked him. Hit him so hard it spun him around. When the cops got there, they thought I'd rear-ended him because he'd spun a complete 180 in the middle of the road. And airbags blew up my face and knocked me out. Didn't even break my glasses. Now, how many people do you know of that have you heard stories of airbags blowing up in their face that, you know, they blow up so violently that they, you know, break their arms, break their nose? The friction burns, you know, tears off half their face and this. And but I mean, I woke up, stuffed the airbag back up in the steering wheel, drove it back to the terminal like nothing had happened. And the more I think about it, and you know, the next day everybody was, oh, you're going to be so sore. You're going to be so sore. You know, second day, third day after a wreck, you're going to feel like you can't even walk. And I wanted to tell people I was, but I wasn't. I wanted to get a couple of days off. Well, I was a little bit sore, but not, you know, not bad enough to miss work. And that's kind of what I was looking for. I was looking for at least I could fake it. But the more I think about it, the more I thought, you know, how many times have I heard that people have been through wrecks like that and not a scratch? And then I think of, you know, Zach wrecking his car, not a scratch. Tara wrecking her car, not a scratch. And then, you know, things have been going on at my work, you know, and Brother Talley told me I owed a report of the trucking business. I sound like I always get up and talk about the trucking business. But, you know, here lately, you know, the economy's been down since, you know, 2008, as everybody knows. But you know, the Bible says in, you know, the land of Goshen, there was always light. You know, I look at those. I don't have to suffer the, you know, what the world goes through. And the other day I was in one of my moods, and I was driving to work, and I was thinking, Lord, you know, what do I even, am I even supposed to be there? You know, what if I'm supposed to be there, just show, give me a sign. And this has been about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I just said it kind of offhand. Didn't really ring the bells of heaven or anything like that. Got to work, and this account that I've been working on forever that I thought was dead, I thought was gone. All of a sudden, they just flipped the switch, and they start covering us up with freight. And then, so I'm thankful for that, and then it goes on, and then all of a sudden, you know, a month later, something blows up. They say our claims are too high, this and that. And it's something I have no control over. I can't do a thing about. Somebody up in Wisconsin's upset about something, and I just basically said, Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Whenever I say that, I always think of Brother Liniger. Remember how Brother Liniger said that? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Remember how he did it? That's how he always did it. But when I put that, and I told everybody that asked about it, I said it'll be a direct miracle if we keep this account. And you know, when I talk about this, it's not money in my pocket; it's just job security is all it is. And the Lord worked it out; didn't have to stew and fret over it. You know, and then there'll be something else tomorrow, but that's fine. God can take us through it. He can. And I was listening to Arthur, and Arthur was talking about how he missed the food and how he missed the fellowship downstairs. And I know that Sister Ann Thompson was probably saying, I missed the work, because that man can work. He can work, no doubt about it. And I saw how Ron just so willingly gave him his glasses. Wasn't that nice? It really was. Just don't ask him for his false teeth. No. Don't do it. We don't want to see it. But I am thankful. I'm thankful to be here tonight. I'm thankful for all my brothers and sisters and what God has brought us through. And I'm thankful for my kids. I'm thankful for my wife, my family, my job, my health. You know, I think about all these things that I see other people that are, you know, my age. You know, I turned 50 this year, and it seems like it was I really thought it'd be a lot more momentous than it was. But then I run into other people that are 50, and they look at me and say, "You've had a pampered life. You don't look 50." And I the people that are telling me this are, you know, they're meth heads and people that have had a really, you know, recovering addicts and this and that. And you're kind of, is that a compliment or not? Do I look pampered? I mean, do I really? I hope not. But I am thankful to be here tonight, and I'm thankful for everything God has done for me. E flat. Can you do it? Give me an E flat. Well, hit me a D. Well, I am nothing but a way-worn pilgrim traveling for Jerusalem, seeking for a happy home in heaven far beyond the valley dim. I have nothing but my faith in Jesus and his everlasting grace. And I know that ere the sun be sinking, I will find a resting place. Well, I am just a pilgrim. It seems I've traveled all alone. Body passing through this world that's not my home. But I'm not discouraged, for something tells me I'm an heir. And when I get to heaven, I'm gonna be a and his love will e'er prevail.
joy eternal. Nothing else shall be my goal. I'll exchange with joy my earthly garments for a spotless robe of white. And I'll live forever in that city where there never comes a night. Well, I am just a pilgrim. It seems I've traveled all alone. Place for me. Well, I am
El Dorado, but I go to Dawson Springs Church, so it's not El Dorado Springs. And I'm very thankful to be here, and I want to thank you all for being so friendly and nice, making me feel welcome.
Well, if you missed your opportunity to get up and preach, testify, sing, come back Wednesday. Aren't you glad you came to church today? It's been a wonderful weekend. I feel like we've been able to touch God. Why don't we stand and let's thank the Lord, and let's ask God to go with us this week. Let's take heed to Brother Vaughn, what he said. Yeah, remember those who are traveling, but let's take heed to what Brother Vaughn was saying. Let's invite people to church. Sister Crow constantly tells me, everybody she invites to church, Sister Crow, those seeds aren't going to come back empty. You're going to get some people coming in. You just keep planting. God will give the increase. Say what? Well, this building wouldn't be big enough, I imagine. Well, I feel like God's going to add to us. God didn't bring us here all together just to keep this under a bushel, but he wants us to be a candle set on a candlestick, giving light to the whole room. Let's thank God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. God, for your goodness, for your kindness, Lord. We thank you for what we received this weekend, God. Keep your hand on us. God, make us a witness to those around us. Lord, let us show forth your love, your mercy, and your care and compassion. God, put a burden for the lost and the undone in our heart, God. Give us a desire to go out, Lord, and find those that you're dealing with, Lord. Glory to God. Go with us. Keep us and guide us and bring us back again safe, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. God bless y'all. Shake hands and be friendly. See y'all Wednesday.
Prayer request.
Huh?